While I was in seminary and doing my internship, I continued to work part-time at the University of California. Many of my coworkers were curious about my training for the ministry. There was one fellow in particular who I was very close to. He had been raised in a strict Christian family, but he had broken away. He felt rather disenfranchised from Christianity, or perhaps traumatized might have been the better word for it, and he was having difficulty reconciling me as he knew me with me as a minister. We talked a lot about religion and faith, and he was trying to understand Unitarian Universalism. And I was encouraging him to visit the UU Church of Davis, which is a wonderful community. "How much Jesus is there?" he asked me, with what I thought was not a slight amount of fear and suspicion. So I said, totally with cavalier confidence, "There's zero Jesus." He said, "Really? Zero Jesus?" "Yes," I elaborated, almost proudly. "You're not going to hear a lot about Jesus at Unitarian Universalist churches." What does it mean that I can say with confidence that, with the exception of Christmas and Easter, and maybe not even Easter, you're not going to hear a lot about Jesus in UU churches? When I talk to people about our religion, I describe us as a liberal Protestant religion. Now, I've gotten kickback from some folks on the Protestant piece, but if you talk to anybody who wasn't raised Christian, they'll tell you that our services feel very Protestant. Our structure, our rituals, our hymns, our practices. However, I would not say that we are Christian. But maybe zero Jesus is not the answer that I'd like to give, for in saying that, I'm neglecting the profound history of our denomination. Many of you know that the Unitarian side of our religious ancestry actually came out of the Congregationalist movement, now the United Church of Christ, the denomination of our host church here, Sierra Arden United Church of Christ. The Congregationalists themselves came out of the Puritans, who themselves came out of the Church of England. Most of us know the story of how the Puritans left England because they thought that the Church of England was not pure enough. To the Church of England, the Puritans were heretics. They were people who challenged the conventional thinking. And it was this heretical nature that is an important part of our heritage, a heritage that says, we don't like what this church is doing, or we don't agree with some things, so we're going to think for ourselves. We're going to create our own communities to meet our needs. For the Puritans, of course, this meant moving to America to establish churches as they saw fit. Now, Unitarianism itself in the United States was first formed in the early 19th century when our beliefs and statements from some of the leading ministers about Jesus and God separated us from the Congregationalists and started us on this path away from Christianity. It was at this time that we were also established as the liberal religion, following this heretical path, as liberal religions do. When we talk about how Unitarian Universalism is a liberal religion, we're saying that it is one that is evolving and changing, and that in doing so, it's staying relevant. Some of this most radical re-envisioning happened in the early 19th century. You probably heard the names William Ellery Channing or Ralph Waldo Emerson or Theodore Parker. Channing was a Congregationalist minister, and he got this re-envisioning ball rolling with a series of sermons that he gave. But one in particular in 1819, titled Unitarian Christianity, was particularly important. Now, in my experience, raised as a Baptist, I'd been really bothered by the idea of atonement, this idea that God had sacrificed Jesus for our sins. I wished at that time I'd heard what Channing had said. Channing said that this idea was very degrading to God's character, to say that no loving God would kill his own son. Channing spoke about how the concept of the Trinity was not in the Bible, and how it was even offensive to any reasoning person who studied the Bible. He also opened the door slightly to the idea that Jesus was not God. Another important thing that he challenged was this idea prevalent in that day that human beings were inherently depraved. In later sermons, Channing would affirm that every human is endowed with a moral likeness to God, and that each human has the potential for growth. You see this idea now in the first principle, which affirms the worth and dignity of every person. It's hard not to overstate how radical Channing's sermons were at the time. But actually, he was not the first person to say and think these things. Many people had been burned at the stake in the prior 500 years or so. One example is Michael Servetus, a Spanish theologian who spoke out against the Trinity. But what William Ellery Channing did was bring forth these ideas in a very significant way in the early 19th century America. And in doing so, he started the path of separating the Unitarians from the Congregationalists, and ultimately for us to diverge and take on our beliefs in a brand new way. Many of you have heard of Ralph Waldo Emerson. He was a Unitarian minister at this time as well, and he carried us along further on this diverging path. One of his most famous sermons was called the Divinity School Address he gave in 1838, and he was bold enough to say that Jesus was a divinely inspired human, on par with other great prophets, but that Jesus himself was not divine. He said that Jesus taught us through his life and words how to connect our soul with the greater spirit. Emerson also incorporated ideas from Eastern religions into his thinking, both Hinduism and Buddhism. He ended up stepping away from the Unitarian ministry, but not necessarily because of this particular message, even though it was very provocative at the time. The minister who paid the greatest price for speaking out was Theodore Parker. His famous 1841 sermon was called The Transient and the Permanent in Christianity. This sermon essentially got him drummed out of the ministry. He was shunned by his fellow ministers, many of whom secretly appreciated his message and secretly may have agreed with him. But being shunned by your fellow ministers was significant. In those days, ministers would preach for about 2 hours every Sunday. So count yourself lucky that you live in the 21st century. So if nobody would exchange pulpits with you, you had to write a brand new 2-hour sermon every Sunday. Parker ultimately gave up his ministry and became something of a circuit preacher, a job that freed him from this obligation of every Sunday preaching and allowed him to be an active abolitionist. In this sermon, The Transient and Permanent in Christianity, Parker said that the persona of Jesus and the concept of Jesus were transient, but the message of Jesus was permanent. Now, at this time, people who wanted to see this sermon in the negative light interpreted Parker as saying, "Forget about Jesus. You don't need Jesus. Jesus is not important." But a message that we can hear more clearly now in the 21st century was Parker saying, "Don't get hung up on all those beliefs about who Jesus was. That's transient. Instead, focus on Jesus' message. That's what's permanent." So this holy trinity of Unitarian ministers, Channing, Emerson, and Parker, got this ball rolling. But as with any cultural change, it takes a long time for these ideas to filter their way through the culture. By the mid-19th century, the Unitarians were moving across the country to what was called the West at that time, essentially Iowa and Ohio. And there were a group of radical ministers who were setting up churches in the West. They took this liberal religion idea very seriously, and they had this idea of our religion always moving forward. They very much supported Parker's ideas about the Christian message and that we should take the message of Jesus but not the theology around Jesus. So this group of radical ministers caused quite a stir at the 1865 General Assembly of Unitarian Universalists. They walked out of a discussion about the principles or the statement of belief that Unitarians would have. They walked out because they wanted the words, "the Lord Jesus Christ," stricken from the statement of belief of Unitarians. Now, the folks that stayed, that were in favor of including that, were frankly a little surprised and nervous and concerned. They said, "Who are we if we're not Christian? If we move from our Christian roots, we're setting the stage for our own demise." They were worried that this radical shift away from Christianity at a time when the country was extremely Christian, 1865, would mean the end of our denomination. So moving forward to the early 20th century, humanism entered the picture in the world, and many Unitarians were actively involved in the early humanist movement. This was particularly active on what then was the New West, the Pacific Coast. And then as time rolls forward, when the Unitarians and the Universalists merged in 1961, the ideas of Jesus Christ and our principles fell away. And as you see, our current principles are not that different from those principles when we merged in 61, and there's no Christian language in those principles except for in our sources. But despite those fears from those folks in the mid-19th century, we're still here. We've crafted a way of being in this world without Christianity as our essential message. But I believe we still have questions about our faith. We're still moving forward in our liberal tradition. We ask, what does define us? What are our roots? What are our wings? But the question that's central for me today is, are we through with Christianity? Now, many UUs have ended their formal relationship with Christianity or have never had one if they came out of other traditions. But it will always be part of our history of both the Unitarians and the Universalists. And I would argue that we haven't really evolved a very healthy attitude towards Christianity. In a way, we're kind of like that adolescent who's left home but still has a big chip on their shoulder about what their parents taught them. We're a little defensive about Christianity, and we don't have an easy connection to it. One way this manifests, our discomfort manifests, is with UUs who choose to engage with Christianity. Shouldn't we be welcoming to the liberal Christians in our congregations? Shouldn't we be more open to the possibility of people being out about their Christian faith, or the idea that Jesus is a profound teacher for them? It's interesting for me because if somebody says, "I'm a UU but I'm a Buddhist," we're all for that. But if somebody says, "I'm a UU and I'm a Christian who follows Jesus," we're uncomfortable. For many of us, there's still a lot of baggage attached to the idea of Christianity. Now, I think it's very important to note that there are many UU Christians in our denomination. They're present in varying numbers in many of our congregations. In fact, the largest UU congregation in the country, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, has a very Christian energy about it. If you go online and look at their website, you'll pick up that Jesus is a part of who they are, just like many other religions and practices. The last time I looked online, the Unitarian Universalist Christian Fellowship lists 62 contacts, 62 churches where there's some kind of a Christian fellowship that's active. Now, we have about a thousand congregations, so this is not a very big percentage, but it doesn't necessarily represent all those who identify with Christianity. It's hard to know how many UU Christians there are. A couple of years ago, I did a series of 5 sermons on Unitarian Universalists and Christianity that was inspired by the same Zero Jesus conversation. This was at our sister congregation, the Unitarian Universalist Community Church. And in the final service, I invited people to share what Jesus meant to them and how they related to Christianity as a Unitarian Universalist. I was a little nervous because it was one of those services where I was looking for 3 to 5 people to speak for 3 to 5 minutes, and I was a little nervous that no one would sign up. But 7 people came forward, 7 people out of a congregation of 60. It makes me wonder how many people in this congregation are inspired by the life and message of Jesus. Now, I think for a lot of us, the first question that we might have for a UU Christian is, if you want Christianity, why don't you go to a Christian church? They're all over the place. But as you heard Stephen Kendrick in the reading that Roger shared, talked about how Jesus has a profound meaning for him in the context of his Unitarian Universalism. I think it's very important for us to understand as Unitarian Universalists this history of Christianity in our denomination and to appreciate more deeply how Jesus' message can be an important source of meaning for us now in this world. Many of us need to work through some of our personal difficulties with Christianity and open ourselves to the relevance of Jesus' message for our times. There are many UUs who are doing this kind of connection, who are seeking to build that connection, but I think it can happen for more of us. In a way, because of our liberal history of thinking deeply about Christianity and the way we've evolved, I think that we can make a profound contribution to reclaiming Jesus' message in our current world, and I think we can have a role in reforming it. I can understand the perspective of the woman who's reading that Mary shared, very blocked, can't move beyond the oppression that she identifies with Christianity. But I still believe that you can put aside what is overlaid on Jesus and focus on what he said and what he did. As I have described our Unitarian history as it relates to Christianity, I've described it in a way that gives it a linear shape. This happened, then that happened, like an arrow of us moving away from Christianity. But perhaps the shape is more like a spiral. Instead of moving farther and farther away, maybe we're now mature enough as a denomination to spiral back and recollect some of that essential message. There is profound meaning in what Jesus had to offer, and it is important for us as Unitarian Universalists to gather it up and honor the wisdom and meaning wherever we find it. When I consider new ways of relating to Jesus' message, I start to feel a little defensive, but also a little unworthy, because I am not a Christian. How is it that I can state the messages of Jesus if I don't identify in that way? But we have a right to this message because it's part of our history. We should not feel defensive when we're faced with issues about who we are as Unitarian Universalists and what our relationship to Christianity should be. Theodore Parker said, "We don't need to have Jesus to have the message of what Jesus said." But I think in this world where Jesus is so misunderstood and so much of his message has been perverted, I think we do need Jesus. I think we need to reclaim Jesus for who he was. He had a message that the world is crying out for now. This message is part of our heritage, and we should claim it proudly. As the Reverend Kendrick said in Roger's reading, we're only beginning to understand the radical nature of Jesus' message. Maybe it's time now for our denomination to engage with this message in a profound and new way. So I invite you to engage with what Jesus has to offer in your own way, in your own time. There are so many resources, so many people now in this world who are seeking to understand the message of Jesus, stripped of all the theological overlay. I invite you to relate to Jesus as the man, as the prophet, not as the theologian's image of Jesus, not as that man on the cover of your order of service, a whiteified presentation of this Jewish man from the first century. Years ago, there was a bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is coming, and boy, is he pissed." Now, I think this bumper sticker was really about the second coming, and Jesus is going to be upset about how the world is not doing what he said. But I have a different interpretation to that. I think Jesus is pissed because what people are saying about him, how they perverted his message. Theodore Parker stood up and proclaimed the power of Jesus' message to huge difficulties for him. William Ellery Channing proclaimed it. Ralph Waldo Emerson gave us new ways to think about this prophet. These men freed us from the theological bondage of his message. We need to honor our heritage. We need to honor their statements by reclaiming Jesus and doing so with honesty and integrity, doing so as Unitarian Universalists. Let's let the words and deeds of this ancient prophet inspire us in a way that works for us, inspire us in a way that fits with our traditions and who we are. Let us do this to strengthen and enrich our Unitarian Universalist faith. Strengthen it as a 21st century religion with a new view on Jesus. I ask you to go forth this day with fresh eyes and an open heart about how the message of Jesus may have meaning in our lives today. So may it be.